Oh, there's so much to remember because there's so much happening. You didn't think we'd get this far, did you? You didn't think we'd get this far. I always hand that little half sheet of notes to Sister Gwen with the title and the scripture, and I go, if we get this far. Is that right? Is that what I say, Gwen? Okay, here's this, if we get this far. In other words, Holy Ghost, you're the boss, not Bruce Springsteen. So, if we get this far. Anyhow, what a wonderful time, and I am so thrilled about so many things, but if I see God meeting needs, oh, there's some shouting already. Man, that carried the shout back there. Glory to God, man, we're in church today. It's so awesome to have Brother and Sister Stephen Lettner. Now, we won't tell you a lot about this, but you've heard that name before, that last name. And so there's relatives in the house, but it's a relative situation. Yeah. Actually, Brother Stephen Lettner used to be, years ago, the youth leader. By the way, a very dynamic, successful one of our church. And so it's good to have our old youth leader back. Amen.
Well, it's definitely good to be here, for sure. Definitely brings back a lot of memories, for sure. But to see what God is doing, I won't say has done, but to see what God is doing and to see familiar faces, and obviously as a child, to see your parents, you know, in a place that they are thriving and in a place where the Spirit of God is just leading them, you know, that's one thing. First of all, let me tell you, don't ever tell God never. Okay? When I married this beautiful lady, Beverly, 10 years ago, I told her, I said, now, one thing I want to tell you. I said, I know you're from Canada, but I will never move to Canada. 8 years later, God said, remember when you said never? So one of the things that, sorry, Pastor, there's a really good preaching spirit in here, so I'm going to try and settle down, but how long do I have? Just a minute or two? Because I could really go off here. I have something I want to share, but I just...
I say, cut him loose.
Yeah. Yeah. I say, let it rip.
Be careful.
It's going to get blessed.
Be careful, because last time my wife's church in Ontario let me do that, I preached for 4 hours, so... I won't do that, I promise.
It's so great to have you guys here.
So God took us up there. But can I just stand here? Is this okay?
Yeah, all right.
Because I like to see everybody, and I want to keep turning around. But when God took us up north, one of the biggest concerns, of course, we were blessed to be able to be in church every Sunday and every Wednesday with my parents. And you know, as a child, one of the biggest thing is concern is for your parents. And you know, I'm not afraid to admit it, and anybody who knows me will tell this to be truth, but I'm a mama's boy.
Amen.
Okay. I'm the youngest of four, and I'm proud of it. You know, and my brothers and sister used to tease me all the time, oh, you just get away with everything. I said, no, you all were just dumb, and I learned what not to do. It's plain as easiest way to put it. When God led us to Prince Edward Island, I prayed, you know. Of course, my dad was on the road a lot at the time, and mom was home by herself. And, you know, I just prayed that God will just lead him to the right place, direct him to the right steps. And, you know, when I knew that they moved to London, Ohio, and they were looking, you know, and going around here, and dad was able to get off the road and traveling, and, you know, they told me that they had visited here, and they really liked it, and... Of course, you know, full circle thing for me, right? You know, and so I did my homework, if you can say, as a son, and these are great people you have as pastors. Let me tell you that I don't know, this is the first time I met them, but I did my homework, you can say, you know, because I wanted to, you know. Not that I didn't trust them. I had heard nothing but great things about these folks in this church. Because, you know, I've been away, but I love this church. This is a part of my life for a long time. And yes. And You know, and so everyone that I talked to said, oh my God, those are some awesome people. You know, and so the more people I talked to, the better I felt about when my parents were here. And so I want to thank God, first of all, for that, bringing my parents here and the blessing that this church has been for them. And I know, you know, that y'all love my mother. I know my father sometimes. No, I'm just teasing. I know that you guys love him. Yes, he's hard to keep under control sometimes. But anyways, he's fun. Yeah, that's it. But so to get back to where I was trying to go 10 minutes ago, I thought. But when God, you know, told us to just start talking to us about moving to Canada, and we had gone to one time for vacation, and I loved it. And I said, this is a great place to come for vacation. Yeah. Great spot. That's my plan. My wife's family had all moved there and whatever. But I come to my wife one morning after my prayer time. And I said, babe, I said, I need to talk to you about something. And she was like, thank God, because she'd been praying about something else for us to talk about, you know. And God finally talked to him about it. And so I said, I think we need to go. And she goes, okay, where? Where are we going? And so I began to talk to her, and just her response was, okay. Like it was just that knowing, okay. You know, that's not what she was thinking about. That's not where she, but we just felt, you know, and so we kept that under wraps. We didn't even tell my parents for probably four months. It was in December, I think it was, and it was March before we told anybody. And God just confirmed one thing after another. And so we live in a town called Charlotte. Well, we live in Cornwall, but the church we attend is in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. And if you want to know where Prince Edward Island is, go to the very northeastern tip of Maine. And then just keep going about 6 more hours, and you'll get there. After you cross an 8-mile bridge, by the way. But so we're there, and God is doing some awesome things there. I went from you kind of go into different churches, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to be quick, and I'm just trying to lead up to where I'm going here. But, you know, God, you know, you go from being a youth pastor and being involved in other things, and I went from being a youth pastor to being, I'm 37, became an elder of a church. I mean, there's one lady in the church, there's a couple seniors in our church. But, you know, we're going like as far as the foundation of the church, if you will. I became the elder of a church. I mean, that's including my pastor, his wife. There's one other lady that's my age, you know, roughly my age. But other than that, so that was like a whole new world for me. I'm used to being the one going to the elder saying, hey, elder, you know, this, that, and, you know. And this church that we're a part of, the amazing part about this church is, 90%, 85% of the church is first-generation apostolics. Wow. First generation. So when I say we have babes in Christ, I mean we have babes in Christ. I mean, I'm talking people come from backgrounds you can't even imagine. I mean, we have former drug addicts that the stories they could tell would just blow your mind. It's a very heavy place. Spiritual realm is rampant. I mean, it is a heavy, heavy place. And we knew that going in. We felt that when we went on vacation. So that was when God was telling us to go there, that was even more of a, I don't know about this. You know, not to get real whatever, but there's a homosexual spirit that would just blow your mind. I'm talking like down to, my son is in grade one and he hears about this boy's mom and mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's heavy, and it's strong, and it's real. Let me tell you, it's real. And so, it's a fight. It's a fight. And, you know, we come from a church, you know, full of churches full of apostolics, people that have been in church a long time. And you know what? No offense to all of us that have been in church a long time, but to be a part of a church that you don't have to fight through all the traditional garbage. You don't have to fight through, okay, come on, we got to worship. Okay, come on, we're going to do this. Well, we've always done it this way. You know what? We don't have to worry about that because people don't know what we used to do. You know, and I'm telling you, that's a blessing. Okay, that is a blessing. And when God moves, he moves. And we don't have a building. We've been an established church for years. But God has never, they used to have a building, sold it because they outgrew it. They were given some land. given 7 acres, given 7 acres of land in the middle of two brand new housing developments, literally in the middle. And still praying about what to do with that. But we were having church in a community center. They've been there, I guess, about 3 years. And I'm trying to speed up. I hope I'm okay, Pastor. Good. Tell me to shut up anytime, and I will. But God, so God has let, we're in this community center, big community, downtown Charlottetown. And God began to speak to our church, but really speak to our pastor. And there is a street called Grafton Street that runs. Am I okay here, babe? Am I talking too much? Okay. There is a street called Grafton Street that runs down right through the heart of downtown Charlottetown. And God spoke to our pastor during a prayer conference we were having, and God said, the key to this city is Grafton Street. And that's all God said. Specifically told him, Grafton Street. Now, this community center was not on Grafton Street. It's one street off of Grafton. And so one Saturday, pastor said, what we're going to do for prayer meeting is we're going to have a prayer walk. And we begin to walk down the street as a church, one side. I mean, this, when I say a street, I'm talking like it runs the whole length of the city. It would be like going through Broad Street to downtown. Like it's a long street both ways. And so we walked one Saturday. We started and we walked this direction. And he said, we're just going to, as we walk, we're going to pray. And we feel to stop and pray wherever, well, we're going to do it. And so there were several locations we stopped and prayed. And then the next Saturday we came back. He said, okay, now we're going to walk and we're going to go the other side of the street. We're going to walk down this way. And I was not there that Saturday. There was something else I was being involved in. I was gone. And so anyways, the church had the prayer, and they walked down. And there is a college called Holland College there. It's a campus at the end of the street. And on this campus, they have a sundial, if you will. The sun just kind of moves in and it points and that type of thing. But anyways, they stopped there and they just prayed. And they felt that something about Holland College. They felt it. They stopped and they prayed, and my wife was there. They prayed about on Holland College. They don't know what it is, but there's something about this location right here. It was just a couple months later, I was asked to become a coach on the Holland College football team. I have become buddy-buddy, if you will, with the vice president of the college. We now are having service and a brand new building that they had built upstairs in one of their rooms. And God has, and that, and here's the kicker, that college is right on Grafton Street. In every service, we have had every kind of people you could think of walk through those doors and walk into that church. And God has been, we are on campus of, and our church was, we had a minister come, and our church was prophesied over and said that this church was going to be used not only for the city of Charlottetown, but for the entire country of Canada, internationally. There are more students at Holland College from outside of that province, other countries. The University of Prince Edward Island, which is just up the road from there, that the colleges are connected. There are more international students between those schools than any university throughout the country of Canada. And we are just a little blimp on the screen. But God has begun to move. And there are times it's a fight. And the power of God has just come into that place, and the anointing has just begun to flow. And we are seeing miracles. I mean, and I'm talking Holy Ghost. Yes. Miracle. That's the biggest miracle of all. It's the Holy Ghost. Yes. Plain and simple. Yes. You know, seeing arms heal, legs heal, those are awesome. But when someone receives a gift of Holy, there's just something about it. You know, there's something about it. You have never witnessed someone get the Holy Ghost and you stand there and just look like this. There's something that happens to you when someone receives the Holy Ghost. And God has begun a work. We don't have a building, so we have to rent this facility. This is a immaculate facility. We went from the name of the center was called the Murphy Center, and it was called, people refer to it as the Dirty Murph. I mean, it was just an old, rundown place, and we were paying quite a bit of money for this place to use just a couple times. I think it was a total of like 10 hours a month, paying over $1,200 for 10 hours a month. And so we get moved to this facility, immaculate facility. They give us a storage area, which we didn't have. And we're literally coming early every Saturday before prayer to set up everything, have prayer, come to church, after church, tearing everything. I mean, we know what that's about, right? Yeah, know what that's all about, right? You know, and so God has now put us, they gave us a storage. The rent is just, it's roughly about the same, which is great because it's fine. It's a great facility. But one thing God allowed us to do is to reach this community is right outside the building we're at, is there is an outdoor amphitheater, if you will. And we have had one service. We plan on two, but the weather happened. But we had one service outside, literally set up everything and just having church out there. There's places to sit around. And they said, you can have access to that anytime you want. So our plan is not to be inside every Sunday. When the weather gets better, we're going to start having services outside, and God's going to move. But God is going to erupt in that town. I'm telling you, there's something that's going to happen. I'm telling you. And I'm excited about what's happening in Charlottetown. But even more than that, I said all that, and I know that was a lot. But to lead up to what I just want to share with you right now, what I'm feeling in one... Try to be careful here. I'm kind of taking new steps, if you will, walking with God. We had a visiting evangelist come and just talked about the ministry and says, you don't know where really God wants you to go until you start taking steps, until you start allowing God, when you're feeling something, to just do it. And so I've been trying to, I feel like God's taking me in directions. So I've really been trying to just flow in the Holy Ghost, if you will. And so I'm just going to share with you what I'm feeling and my wife about this church. And my wife shared something with me after we left here at prayer last night. So I kind of pondered on that, and when we came into the church this morning, man, there was just a presence of God that was here. And I said, okay, God, and Pastor Meadows, I want you, be ready to testify. I was like, oh, God, here we go, And so I just started, just praying and just asking God to speak to me, and I was pondering on the thought of what my wife told me, and God kind of gave me a little bit more revelation to that, if you will, and I want to share it because God has some amazing things in store for this church. Amazing things in store for this church. Things are already happening. And I believe now more than ever that the church has to be living the fivefold ministry without a doubt. Our churches outside all over the world have to be working in the fivefold ministry. It has to. It has to. Scripture tells us, number one. But number two, we're living in the last days. And that fivefold ministry needs to be taking place. And I believe that there are those in here that God is wanting to take in that direction. In 1 Samuel, when Samuel went to Jesse's sons to anoint a king, and you guys know the story, and I'm not going to take long to talk about it, but Jesse went through all these sons. He went to one, and nope, God said, no, that's not it. And God said, nope, that's not it. He got through all the sons that were there, and he said, Jesse, do you not have any more sons? I know this is what God told me to do, but none of these are who God wants. And he told him, he said, my son David is out in the field with the sheep. And he asked him to call, and he knew from the moment he was walking towards him, God said, that's him. So what Jesse was doing was he had that horn of oil.
Yes.
And what I felt like God was telling me is that God has had a horn of oil. And he was looking around the city, going to a church and saying, nope, it's not it. Nope, that's not it. And when he saw this church, he took that horn of oil. From heaven, he began to pour out that anointing oil upon this church. That is what God shared with me. And what my wife shared with me yesterday said was we begin to pray. She said, I felt something like I had never felt before. She goes, I almost can't even explain it. But she said there was like an anointing. And Sister Meadows, to piggyback on what you're talking about, Grace, she said it was like an anointing that literally was in every crevice, every crack, every hole. The anointing was just in this place. And God is letting this church know, hey man, that his anointing is in every single area, every hole, every crack, every place in this building. Amen. And God is wanting the fivefold ministry. Amen. The spirit. Amen. A prophecy of healing. Amen. To begin to take place. And God is saying, hey, if you're feeling that, just walk over to the wall and just grab a little bit of that anointing. Amen. Grab a little bit of that anointing and let it walk underneath the doorway. Let that anointing, amen, just begin to pour out upon your head. Amen. And God has things in store. I'm telling you, you can't even imagine the things that God is wanting to do in this church for this city and this outreach that you're going to do. I'm telling you, there's something about walking the streets, amen, and talking to people. But I'm telling you, God, people that you don't even know. Displaced apostolics, yes, I believe that God is going to bring those here. But there are going to be people that you don't even know, you haven't even talked to, that are going to grace the doors of this church. Amen. And when they walk through those doors, the anointing of God is just going to fall upon them. Amen. I believe that there will be people walking through those doors speaking in tongues because the power of God, amen, hit them the moment that they walk through that door. Amen. Going to walk through here. People are going to walk in, walk straight up to the altar. Amen. Healings are going to begin to take place in their life. Things we don't even imagine. Things we can't even see. God is already doing a work upon this place. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Oh, let's receive that right now. Let's receive it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Come on, that's a prophetic word right there. That's a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We worship you. Praise God. Oh, we magnify the name of the Lord. We receive that, Lord. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Thank you. It's ours. It's our word. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Something supernatural is happening in this room today. Let's give God the honor he deserves. Woo! Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, God. We worship you. Wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. I am amazed at the grace of God. I am amazed at the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Listen to this, how God works. There's not only a prophetic anointing on his sister, Crystal. There's an anointing on Stephen. It's prophetic. But this is what he didn't know. And then when I tell you what he didn't know, he's going to get excited, and so are you. Because you remember when Rick Gonzalez, in Ember's Celebration of Life service, said, I saw an angel come into her room. And he had one hand under her head. Well, that means a lot to me, because that's the airbags protected under her chin, okay? But her head took the brutal beating of a car wreck. But he said his other hand, he had a vial of oil. You hear me now? Stephen didn't know that. And he thought at first the oil was for Ember, but as the hours passed, he realized the oil was for us. Come on now. The oil is for us. Woo. Come on, Brother Thad, just for another moment. The oil is for us. Hallelujah. Come on. He's pouring oil out on us. He's pouring oil out on us. Thank you, God. There's an angel in the house, and he's got a vial of oil. Does God know what he's doing or what? Does God know what he's doing? If you'll be sensitive, you'll feel some oil coming. You'll feel some oil coming down on you right now. There'll be a new anointing on your life. There'll be a new anointing on your prayer life. There'll be a new anointing on your faith life. There's oil being poured out. There's an angel. There's an angel in the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Stephen. That was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. That was so awesome. You got some amazing kids, Joy. Robert, you got some amazing kids. The Lord's using them. And because he's obedient, I believe he's going to sense something new working in him these next few weeks and months. Praise God. Because he was obedient to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's something more important than just how fast we can get out of here. I'm telling you, we don't have any Sunday night service, but I feel a Sunday night anointing. I feel a Sunday night anointing. We might as well give God our best praise, our best worship. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, somebody's got some oil coming down on them now. You're going to feel it in your thoughts. Hallelujah. An anointing on your mind. An anointing on your heart. Hallelujah. You feel that witness in the spirit? You feel that witness in the spirit? I believe that normally, you know, pastor just turns it over to the altar call. But I believe he's also given me a prophetic word that you need to hear. And let the prophet speak two or three and let one interpret. But just keep, go ahead, just enjoy that, because I don't want to preach. I'm going to preach a few minutes. I don't want to preach long, but you got to hear what the Lord gave me, because it's going to bless you again. And you put it with what Stephen just said, and you're going to need to pull your wings in to get out the door. Woo! Oh, my. And, you know, most of the time, we don't go ahead and preach. We just let it happen. But I feel like tonight, or this afternoon, this morning, wherever we are in this day, I need you to at least hear a piece of this. Is that okay? Because remember now, we don't have no Sunday night service. So why don't we just leave it wide open? From the book of Acts, chapter 7. I don't want to hold you long at all, but boy, oh boy, did we ever more hear a word. Man, oh man, oh man. That's what the single lady said. Man, oh man, oh man. Somebody said amen. No, she said no, not. She said not amen, just any man. Just, you know, the single desire to have that friend and you know, person in their life. Well, we say, Lord, amen to this. And what a beautiful word it was. Thank you so much. And I appreciate not only your sensitivity, but your wife's beautiful sensitivity. She's already ministered to several people already here in this building. And one of the blessings of that to me is that she knew that she was more than welcome to minister to whoever she felt, because she's among her family and friends. Acts 7 verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him, it's a reference to Stephen, with their teeth. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, ooh, I like that, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know, and I know that when that expression is used, it's a reference to honor, power, and authority. When I say I'm in a pickle, it does not mean I'm trapped in a pickle. It's called an idiom. This is a Jewish idiom for power and authority and honor. The right hand. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And here's a real important expression. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, if you can catch what's in this verse, you will kind of feel where I'm going for a few minutes. Okay, see if you can catch it. It was the way Stephen died that evangelized Saul. If you were to dig into many commentators, many of them would tell you that something happened to Saul of Tarsus by what he witnessed when he saw Stephen die. Can you follow? He saw something in the awesome attitude. Watch this. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. He's praying. They're killing him and he's praying. He's having a prayer meeting. It's almost like he doesn't notice what's happening. They're trying to beat the pulp out of him, and he's having a prayer meeting. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't let anything interrupt your prayer meeting. There's just a little thought there. That's raisins for the cookies. Okay, there we go. Okay, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Don't blame them, Lord. I give them forgiveness. What a way to sign off, huh? And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There you go. That's how we finish out chapter 7. You say, that's not a good note. Oh, you don't know what a good note that was. I got to, as they say in the Deep South, I have to explain this to you. Because you know, and I know, that the Holy Ghost didn't say, okay, start Acts 8 now. Men put in chapters, divisions. The Holy Ghost didn't say, okay, it's time to start a new chapter. So we're in the same chapter, as it were. We're in the same story. Going to watch what happens right after this. Verse 1 of Acts 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Reference to Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2. And devout men... Somebody say, devout men. Carried Stephen to his burial. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a consecration to bury stuff. They weren't just any people. They were devout. They were consecrated. They buried Stephen. It takes a consecration to bury stuff. Put it under the blood and quit talking about it and quit rehearsing it. That will preach all by itself. But I'm going to move on here, all right? They carried him to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Verse 4, here we go. Something's happening now. This is just about three verses away from the last verse of Acts 7. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, verse 4, went everywhere preaching the word. Anybody smell revival? Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I'm going to ask it again. Can anybody smell a revival brewing? You know, that coffee's in the Bible, the book of Hebrews. Okay. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a revival in full swing. Amen. When's the last time you bumped into a miracle? We just did. A prophecy is an oral miracle. It's a spoken miracle. It's speech with unction in it. It's speech with oil in it. Speech by itself is not necessarily a miracle, but when there's an anointing on it, it becomes a verbal miracle. Or as they say in the Deep South, miracle. Okay, so revival is bringing out miracles. That happen. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. I'm going to ask it again. Can anybody smell revival? And then the last verse, I used to have this little deal with Ember. Hey, Amber, you quote a verse, and you know, it started out with, I think it was a nickel, and it went up to a dime, and then it got to be a quarter, and I realized that wasn't moving or motivating her. She was always motivated by finance. So kind of a Jewish straight kicker. Okay, it's a buck now. She'd quote this verse and say, okay, Dad, hand over the buck. And there was great joy in that city, a buck daddy. This was her go-to verse. Short and sweet. And there was great joy in that city. Hand over the buck, Dad. Oh, man. Rip-off artist. Oh, man. Okay, now, watch this. Oh, man. Maybe I should wait to tell you. The death of Stephen was the reason for revival in Acts 8. Somebody just died here, and the Holy Ghost has told me that it's a key to the revival that God wants to give us. Come on, lift your hands and let's love on God right now. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise, Lord. You're using everything. God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste. Oh, Lord, we worship you today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Just for the next few minutes, I just want us to feel like we're at camp meeting, because there's a prophetic word in the air, and God doesn't waste anything. You may be seated. He feeds 5,000 plus. That was just the men. 5,000 plus their wives, plus their kids. Could have been 15,000, could have been 20,000. But he feeds them and he multiplies bread. We had a farmer, a rancher in Wisconsin. One of our best givers in the district, and he was loading up his cattle, and he was counting them, and it came to 12, and something didn't seem right, and so he got them, you know, the big truck that they load them on. He got them all back off, and we need to recount these head of beef, you know, and so they started counting again. This time they got 13. I got a question for you. If he can multiply bread, can he multiply beef? Oh, amen. That's right. So he thought, 13, something's not right here. Take him off. Let's start this again. It's going to take us a while. We got to get this right. And they counted them as they went up the game plan. 14. I'm not exaggerating. Every time they counted them, they had one more. Whew. Praise God. He multiplied the bread. He can multiply rawhide. He can take the one talent that you think you have in your deception. You think you have only one. Did you hear how I said that? In your deception, you think you have one. But if you'll give it to him, you'll open your eyes someday and you'll discover that he took your one gift and he made it 15. He made it 12. He made it 7. Hallelujah. Because you dared to load up God's truck. Amen. And count that he's a part of this and his supernatural magnification and multiplication is working. You can lay your hands right now on your billfold and I believe that God would multiply your finances and that you could find money in your billfold that you didn't know was there because it wasn't there until you laid your hands on it in the spirit of faith. Can I preach right now? You say, has that happened? Yes, it has happened many times. Woo! Oh man, how can I tell you what I believe he's telling me? And in Acts 8, there are at least 3 separate revivals that break out. But it's all connected to what happened at the end of Acts 7. The Holy Ghost talked to me. I told you I was out on my prayer roads. And I crawled inside of a verse. Give me understanding and I shall live. Psalms 119 verse 144, the last part of the verse. Give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding. I'm not asking a nasty why, Lord, is my daughter gone? But I'd like, if I could, to get a little understanding. Just give me a little understanding and I shall live. Praise God. One of the things that he talked to me about was he was going to use Ember's story. He was going to use Ember's story to bring displaced apostolics back. It's already happening, as Brother Stephen said. It's scary exciting. It's already, Sister Bear, it's already happening. Come on, raise your hand and give God some praise and faith. He's talking to backsliders. He's talking to displaced apostolics. He never stopped loving them. He never stopped loving them. He told me there would be new people as well that have never been born again. That would come into the church because of the witness of Ember's heart and the witness of his life. And before I get done tonight or today, I'm going to tell you a few of the people that's coming in. But he doesn't waste. See, he said in verse number 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Do you know how you can tell when you're working with a good carpenter? They don't waste anything. They find a usefulness for everything. They have almost nothing, a really good one often. I'm not saying always, but often they have very little left over because in their mind they can see where that fits in to what they're building. And I know a carpenter that came from Nazareth and he says, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I can use everything. I can use every strange looking piece, every broken piece of lumber, every broken life. I'm building my church. I feel a prophetic word. You are valuable. Your word, your testimony, everything you've been through, it's needed. He doesn't waste a storm. He doesn't waste. Thank you, Ember. Thank you. He doesn't waste a heartache. He doesn't waste our pain. Yesterday was one of the most difficult days since she died. I don't even know how to explain it. But I had horrendous emotions. But guess what? I didn't let it keep me from prayer meeting. See, that's the deal. I'm trying to model this for you. What is that? Whatever's happening, get to church. Whatever you're feeling, your life is not based on your feelings. Get up. Keep your prayer life up. Keep worshiping God. Keep doing everything that you should be doing. Woo! He doesn't even waste a funeral. How's about that, huh? He doesn't even waste a funeral. He doesn't waste a death. He doesn't waste an accident, so-called. You ever look at a bird's nest? Those birds, I've seen nests with some of the strangest stuff woven in. You see a piece of a balloon? How'd that get in there? I don't know, but Mama Bird, she figured how to weave it all together. You'll see some kite string, maybe a piece of rawhide, stuff that you can't figure out what it is, but Mama Bird, she wove it in there. That's my God. He said, there's a nest on my altars, he said in Psalms 84. There's a nest on my altars, and my people know where to put their young. Hallelujah. In my nest, God can pick up our sorrows. God can pick up our pain when our hearts are broken and we don't have a lot of answers. God can pick that up and weave that, because he doesn't waste anything. Let's love him right now, would you? With me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Be encouraged. Everything that's happened to us is usable to Father God and Mama Bird, Mama Church, the mother of us all, Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, the church of the living God. Between father and mother, they're going to find a way to weave everything together and provide a place for you and me to find shelter. Woo! I must calm down. It seems like I spent half my life trying to calm down. Watch this. Even Stephen's death was woven in to God's nest. He was a man full of miracles, signs and wonders, the Bible tells us. And he got to preaching an impact of convicting message, and it upset them. You know what we need to beg God for? Lord, bring a spirit of conviction into our church. I am open to your conviction. Lord, I give myself to the work of the Holy Ghost. I am open to your conviction. I'm not offended by your word. I'm not offended by your works. I'm not offended by your plans. Blessed is he said, whosoever is not offended in me, blessed is he. Woo! In the name of Jesus. And God is using a funeral. God used Stephen's exit. Something about the way he died. If you really look at these verses deeply, even into the Greek, you'll see. And as you look back, we realize that an apostle named Paul was being built. And one of the things that so evangelized and convicted him was the beautiful attitude that a man had who was being murdered. He was so busy praying, he almost even didn't notice it. Can I preach on that a while? People don't fall when they're on their knees. Who's the last person that told you, I broke my leg, I was praying and kneeling and praying, fell over and broke my leg? You'll never hear that, because people don't fall and break their leg when they're on their knees. Nobody falls when they're on their knees. If something crazy is happening, get on your knees and keep praying. You're not going to backslide. You don't have to backslide. You've got the grace of God on you. You've got the fire of God in your heart. You're going to make it. You're going to climb the next hill. You're not going to let that craziness throw you, because you know that if you keep on praying, you will never backslide. I must calm down. Oh, by the way, this revival of Phillips, you know who this Philip was, right? You're thinking he was one of the apostles? No, you're wrong on that one. He was one of the deacons from chapter 6. He was just one of the deacons. Oh, God, give me some deacons like these guys who know how to deek in the Holy Ghost. The revival was in Samaria. What was Samaria? Disrespected. I'm sorry, but it reminds me of Galloway. I'm sorry. I traveled to New Albany, where the billionaires live, you know. Westerville, where the millionaires live. I mean, all these ritzy suburbs. But one of the most disrespected suburbs in Columbus, you guessed it, Samaria. Oh, I'm sorry. Galloway. But it was to Samaria that Philip goes and has a revival. Hallelujah. Come on now. Did you hear the prophetic voice today? Did you hear somebody who has an investment in this town and an investment in this church, and he's got oil dripping off his lips, and he said there's more coming? God loves Samaria, and God loves Galloway, and God loves Columbus, and God is so humble yet so powerful. He loves to touch towns that don't have a lot a reputation going for him. You know, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, you don't want to talk about Nazareth. You know, rough, rough town. I mean, they got a real operational hood going over there. Yeah, that's the name of the town that he attached to himself, because he brought some glory to Nazareth. And he sent a revivalist to Samaria and the Galloway. You guys. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Because of Stephen's death, something turned in this hardened. He was a terrorist. I love the story when God slapped him off his donkey. I love it. Because here's the deal. The donkey that was riding the donkey had some donkey slapped out of him. What a paradox. God slaps some donkey. Brother Bob, God slaps some donkey. Somebody say, God slaps some donkey. Out of the donkey that was riding a donkey. Yay for Jesus. He said, hey, I'd like to meet you. My name is Jesus. You know, God is a real extrovert. Say, I'm bashful. I just, you know, I have those genetics. Well, you've been born twice, honey child. Check on your heavenly father. He's an extrovert. Just a thought. Okay, watch this. I'm almost done. We got all these text mails. We got messenger messages, voicemails. I'm booked into the third year of the millennium trying to answer them all. It's incredible. We belong to a fantastic fellowship. All the fellas in the same ship, going the same direction and enjoying the trip. We're not alone. The Lone Rangers are the lost rangers in this hour. We belong somewhere together with God and us. Hallelujah. This is a fellowship. There's a beautiful unity that he's working on in all of our churches, and it's so beautiful it's working here. But I heard people, I saw people send us notes. And here's what the beautiful story normally was, Joy. Well, Brother and Sister Malice, we can't even imagine the pain you're going through. That, whoa, you know, it doesn't take much to touch my heart. It's like, man, thank you. You got that one right. And then they'd say something like, we're praying for you. Oh, man, I got to be careful because I'll start crying. Not because I miss my baby, but because I'm so thankful. Yes. We're praying for you guys. And then sometimes they say, we're carrying your pain. Brother Gonzalez said, I got up this morning and I got your back, bro. I'm carrying some of that pain that you feel. All the lights are out and all the commemorative programs are over. And here you are. I'm carrying some of that pain. So, wow. But every once in a while, we heard something that was very unique. Somebody would say, God's going to use this to give you more revival. So here's an example. Ready? This is word for word from a pastor's wife out here in the great metropolis of Mount Sterling. Here it is. Here it is. I just wanted to say, we will be thinking of you. On the way home from the hospital that night, God told me Central Ohio will see revival because of Ember's life. This is just one example. I said, God, Cindy's baby is dying, and she will not want to hear that as a mother. He said, I know, but Ember would have. Nothing like, this is a mother of mothers. Her maternal instincts are scary. Believe me, not much scares me, except if I'm in a contest with Sister Joy and there's not one chair left. Had to get that in there. Forgive me, Lord. Okay, moving on. What a mother of mothers sits here. She said, I was struggling with her being your only child and no grandchildren. He said, I will bring people into their lives that will be like their children. No, they will not be Ember, but I will fill their arms with babies, and those kids will be like their own grandbabies. Woo! This was before the reconciliation with John. I don't know the part he will play, but I am so sure it has happened. No, we love you guys and think the world of you. God bless you. God bless. Love, Tammy. Now, guess what? I don't think that anybody sense smell revival? Can I? I was preaching in Brother Tamil's church, little old home missions church that runs about 1,200. Anyway, and I was preaching there years ago, and I just talked and said, this was when this expression was new. Wake up and smell the coffee. And somebody in the back pew smelled coffee, and there's no coffee. Now, literally, they told us later, who's making the coffee? I just said, wake. Oh, they smelled it, and then I said, wake up and smell the coffee. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to touch your hearing. God's going to touch your sense of smell. I want you to smell. I smell revival in this text smell. I smell revival in a prophecy this young man gave. He might be an elder, but to me, he's a young man. Everybody under 50 is young to me. Praise God. But it's awesome. And we have some young men coming up, and they've got an anointing on them. They've got a vision working in them. The Holy Ghost is operating in them. And I say, let it rip. Let it rip. Come on, you want the kind of revival that God wants to give us? It'll blow your mind. It will blow your mind. Woo. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. So watch this. God, just about the time my baby girl was in an accident, God spoke the word bridges to me. He does this once in a while. He'll speak a word to me, and the compliment is he thinks I have enough brain power to figure out the rest of the sentence. That's the compliment. When he spoke the word bridges, I thought, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. You want us to rebuild bridges. You want us to rebuild bridges. John calls her, Amber's in the intensive care unit fighting for her life. And John, her ex, calls my wife. Can I come and see Amber? Well, I need to check on my husband. I don't think he liked that, did he, really? But he was good about it. How'd you say it, huh?
I just need to check with Dad and see what he thinks about it.
Say, I'm submitted to my husband. I'm going to check and see. Praise God. Submission, you know, to a headship is not dictatorship. You've heard of the Tater family, you know, agitator, dictator. The Tater family that used to go to a church in Idaho. I'm sorry. I'm a commentator. But anyway, I'm kind of related to. Okay. It was just a simple thing. The bridge was blown out. And so she calls me. Now, there's a long story here, so I'm not even going to touch it. We had a lot of stuff dumped on us from another party. Some rascal out of hell dumped all kinds of junk on us, and the bridge got blown out. It wasn't our fault, but it just got blown out. But when she had called me, I said, this is not a day for harshness. This is not a day for cynicism. This is a day for mercy and love and grace. There had been things that we thought had been said, found out later they weren't, had not been said, that blew the bridge out. And so John came, and John prayed, and John wept, and John got up in front of our entire church and apologized for the failure of their marriage and took total responsibility. I've never seen him talk or act like that ever. He's not even the same guy. Oh, you want to hear some good news? He's moving here. Come on now. Amber is a bridge. Stephen was a bridge. We are rebuilding bridges. And God is bringing people home again. Oh, I wish somebody jump up and dance just a little bit, because the work of God, the power of God, the church of the living God is going to be blessed. Anybody can change. Give people a chance to change. Give people a chance to repent. Don't throw them away. Anybody can say stupid things. Anybody can make mistakes. It's when we continue to cross them out. Jesus crossed out sins on his cross. He didn't cross out people. He crossed out sins. That's what that verb meant that he spoke of, tetelestai. It is finished. It was the same word used when a bill was paid. Today we take a rubber stamp to just kind of bump it into the ink and stab the document with it, and it says payment received. That's what that word meant, tetelestai. It is finished. It meant payment received for all grace, all mercy, all forgiveness, everything hurtful, every disease. Payment received. It's paid for. Come on, reach up and pull some mercy. Oh yeah, come on. Everybody needs a little. Everybody needs some of his goodness every day. Pull some down on you. It's already paid for. You don't have to earn it. Pull some down on you. There's plenty to go around. God wants us to splash around in it. Stephen's death was a bridge to revival. In the book of Acts chapter 8, there were three different places where revival broke out. We read about the first place, and then verses later, they called for Peter and John. They come down, lay hands on them. They start getting the Holy Ghost in mass. I think I'd call that revival. That sounds like revival. Wake up and smell the coffee. He brews. And the third place was this evangelist deacon. Amen. And the Ethiopian eunuch. Hallelujah. Whom God touched, he baptized. The Holy Ghost catches Philip away, and the Ethiopian eunuch goes back to where? Ethiopia. And where, I pray tell, were the mighty outpourings of the Holy Ghost when Billy Cole was alive and praying for 111,000 people that spoke in tongues in one meeting and received their baptism? It was this country. We just so often don't connect the dots. But God, he doesn't waste anything. He doesn't even waste you. He doesn't waste me, and he's not wasting Ember. She will serve a purpose till he comes. And then beyond that, I'm preaching what I believe he told me. Come on. Hallelujah. Because of my baby girl, thank you, by the way, thank you for loving her. I'm going to people one-on-one and I'm saying, I know that you brought her. I was telling Tim, he's one of them. Tim was her buddy of buddies. And you know, you couldn't help but see them often sitting together. I think they had a crush on each other, to tell you the truth. But don't tell nobody, okay? Don't tell Tim. Amber, you didn't hear that, right? But they just loved each other, and they were really, really close. And they built fellowship in that restaurant. They built that whole thing around Jesus and them loving people. And she being dead yet speaketh. Wow, watch this. I'm almost done. Truly, truly. So Johnny Dye's moving here. He's the one that helped put that collage at the Ember's Celebration of Life service. The pictures and stuff helped with the music, organizing the music. It was just a fantastic job. I've just been on the phone this morning with Allison and Cameron, and they would normally be here. But they're saying, Pastor, we want to sit down and talk with you. I wonder what that could be about. So I called, I know they're going to listen to this. Hi, Cameron. Hi, Allison. Love you. God is okay. They're coming into this church because of Ember's story. There's something that's been released through her brokenness. She was a soul winner. You got to know. Last text, Brother Stephen. I was afraid because I know she was a texter, and I don't think she was texting on the freeway. That, as far as I know, she wasn't. I thought, I'm going to look up her last text. Remember when I preached that message, what we don't have here but desperately need, a sense of urgency concerning the harvest? Remember that one? Unforgettable. No, I'm teasing. I would like it to be unforgettable. Anyway, Ember texted me, hey, Daddy, can we print up 5,000 door hangers? I had a two-sided conversation going on. Oh, sure, baby doll. Hey, God, how much does 5,000 door hangers cost? Help me, help me, help me. Hey, oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Hey, Lord, how much does 5,000 door hangers cost? It's like, I couldn't say no. I told Anthony Mangan about this. He said, I'm going to use that in a story. I said, go ahead. And some of those guys have been calling me, praying for us. So here's Allison and Cameron. We're sitting in the waiting room along with many of you with tears in their eyes. Every day they could, he had to work at certain times and couldn't be at every single thing, but it seemed like they were at everything. Wanting to get with you, Pastor, and chat with you. And I asked him today, I said, hey, Cameron, several months ago, didn't Ember invite you guys out to the restaurant and pick up your tab? He said, I didn't want her to, but yes, she did. He's not wasting Ember. He's not wasting you. He's not wasting me. Oh, is that exciting? She picked up her tab, and even I heard about it later. I don't think she ever told me. She did a lot of stuff she didn't tell anybody about. But she wanted to reach people. And so she becomes a bridge over troubled waters. And God can heal our minds to see things clearly. Her bestie is over here. Her soul-winning compadre, Sister Amber. Amber and Ember sounds like attorneys at law. Oh, my goodness. Two dynamic girls. Anybody see the Luda family showing up a lot more? The Luta family? Hallelujah. What has happened? Because of Ember and her accident and her death, there is a grace that's been poured out on our church, and a grace that's been poured out on our family, and a grace that's been poured out on our children. And God is opening hearts. He doesn't waste anything. Would you lift your hand and love the Lord as we open ourselves up again? It seems like there's a prophetic word everywhere we turn. Here's a Luta family, Romanian, beautiful people. Hallelujah. Their girls look like apostolics. They're coming from, amen, a fresh direction. Pastor's learning Romanian. We have a multicultural church. Is it exciting? We live in a multicultural city, and God has released something that's touching our hearts in a new way. And if that's not enough, I just got story after story of bridges that we're rebuilding because of Ember. See, where God's built folding, he gets to choose how he spends it. And sometimes he just goes broke spending somebody. Is that amazing or what? Here's Dennis and Jeanette. We taught them Bible studies. Years ago, we lost contact. Guess who we were sitting with the other night? Dennis and Jeanette, my policeman buddy, in their home. And Jeanette's hugging on me like I'm her big brother or something. And crying over us. God's rebuilt that bridge. That's another bridge. Come on, lift that hand and say to God, Lord, I'm going to rebuild some bridges. I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to rebuild some bridges. Hallelujah. You don't waste anything. And you're not wasting our heartache. You're not wasting our pain. I wish somebody could run to this altar and say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll rebuild some bridges this week. I'm going to do the Jesus thing, and I'm going to do the Ember thing, and I'm going to do the God thing. I'm going to do the grace thing. I'm going to do the forgiveness thing. I'm going to rebuild some bridges. And now I've got family members praying about moving here because there's something about what God's doing. There's this measure of kindness and brokenness that's been released. And God, I'll tell you what, when we're broken, God can trust us with a lot of stuff that he couldn't trust us with in our arrogance. But when we're broken, he can trust us with harvest, and he can trust us with revival. Oh, but because would you love him and bless him? I just felt like God wanted us to sprout wings again. As Brother Thad sings, would you just sprout some new wings and fly again?
Please be still.
Oh.
You are near. There's nowhere we can go. You won't shine. Redemption's alive.
Worship.
Oh,
Jessica was watching my live streaming Ember's celebration of life. Stephen Rom to tell me because we made sure it was live streaming. She was watching. Used to come to our church. She's coming back. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Something beautiful. Yeah, God works with time, but I'm just telling you that something about Ember's story. And Ember was one of her friends on Facebook. I've got some of these people she worked with, and I've told them I'm adopting you. I don't care what you think about it. You're just adopted, so. Okay, I just wanted you to know what I've done here. You're adopted. And on special holidays, I'm going to be looking for somebody to fill this hole in my chest. But it's not just that. The P.S. is, I think we'll get into some baptismal discussions. I'm sure it'll come up. How do you do that? Well, you're in the restaurant, and when they ask you what you want on your salad, you say, I want a lot of blue cheese, a baptism of blue cheese. Oh, by the way, we baptized by immersion. Okay, but I want a lot of blue cheese. That opens more doors. Lift your hands. Come on. God wants to hear. God, hallelujah. Sing it again, Thad. Oh, in Jesus' name.
You are
I worship you,
God. You're making all things new.
You're making all things
new. We are free.
You're making all things new.